Hi, Rick Hogan filling in for John Williams. If I had a car, I'd give it to Cars for Kids, but I've never owned a car. So there you go. When I go to the 16th Street Theater, I either take public transportation or I take a cab or I have a friend take me there. And if you have never been to the 16th Street Theater in Berwyn, shame on you. It is one of the most creative and intimate and adventuresome theaters that has ever been in this town. I've covered theater in this town for a long time. It is my pleasure to have in here the artistic director and the founder of the 16th Street Theater and filmer. She has brought, I guess Esteban Andres Cruz, I guess I got to call you the title character in Koalas.
That's right.
You play a koala in a fascinating I don't know if I want to call it heart-wrenching. It's gotten some great reviews so far. It's a provocative show. Mm-hmm. When you, you are from Berwyn too, are you not, Esteban?
I was born in Berwyn and raised in Cicero. I'm a graduate of Morton East High School.
That's close enough to the 16th Street Theater.
That's a musical, born in Berwyn, raised in Cicero.
Before we get into the show itself, when you are auditioning, were you auditioning specifically for the role of the koala?
Correct.
When you are auditioning, you're a working actor and you're called in to an audition for a role of a koala, what kind of preparation might be involved in that?
Well, I actually got pretty sick because I ate a lot of eucalyptus. And apparently it's toxic for humans. And so, I was hanging out in the tree in the back of the theater, scratching my back and whatnot on it. And I got into the theater and then I noticed I had all these ants on me. So they're
so method.
They're totally method. Totally.
And Filmer, it's so great to see you always. Esteban, it's great to meet you. When you first, this is a world premiere.
Mm-hmm.
What was your feeling the first time you read it? You must have to read a play about a dozen times before you really conceptualize it. But what did you think the first time you read it?
Well, actually, the first time I experienced the play was actually at a reading at Chicago Dramatists. It was just a weird happenstance as I was called in by Chicago Dramatists to come in and do a session with a group of six playwrights. And what they do is they meet once a week, and two playwrights per week read their work to each other, or they have the other writers read the work. So not only did I hear the play for the first time, but I heard it read by playwrights. And so first I thought, okay, writers are wonderful, but writers as actors, it depends.
Yeah.
Maybe
like Sam Shepard. Sam Shepard.
Oh, yeah.
They're rare.
They are rare. And the ones that can do both are, usually brilliant. I had mild expectations. It was fantastic.
Had you known the playwright?
No. So this is just, this is weird. And I'm a real destiny girl, right?
Yes, you are.
I pay attention to destiny and serendipity. But we had already chosen the theme for our season, heroes, right? So we decided that we were going to confront something that makes me very uncomfortable, which is telling stories about men and women who serve in uniform.
Yeah.
Only because their stories to me are so terrifying, and I am just in awe of what they put themselves through.
Well, there's also, and you can get in on this too, Esteban, when you're dealing with something like that, you've never fought in combat. I don't know if you fought in combat. There's a depth there that there's no frame of reference.
Right, exactly. I can never say, oh yeah, I know how you feel, right?
Yeah.
That's not, so I thought, okay, who are we going to talk about that is just so far from our experience as artists? So we already had our hero season chosen, and then here we read a play. I hear a play that's actually about a war veteran from the Gulf War and his struggle with dealing with authority and dealing with his child who does not conform to what he thinks a young girl should be. And of course it's 1999. And he feels the world changing and leaving him behind.
Yeah.
And I pulled the playwright aside and I said, no, we don't know each other. Let's have lunch and let's talk about getting your play done at 16th Street Theater.
Was was it a difficult thing for you? It does not, and this must be to your credit too, Esteban Andres Cruz, that to have an animal in a play that is not the dog in Little Orphan Annie or something.
Thank goodness.
but is an intrinsic. I mean, one of the things about your character is you in many ways drive that show.
Yep. Mm. Yeah.
Do you feel that way, Andres?
Well, I feel like, you know, the title Koalas, a lot of people ask, you know, well, there was only one koala and the title
is
plural.
Yeah. And, you have and, a girlfriend then, in the back.
After they see the show and they see how we can compare animal behavior to human behavior and how we think we're so evolved and so enlightened. But yet, what a lot of times when we see a tragic character and his tragic flaw is usually because he can't be honest in a way that an animal can be honest about their needs and wants. We see these parallels happening between the animal kingdom and the human world, and we're actually treating them like animals and putting them on display in a diorama, or what's the word that we use, in an exhibit.
Yeah.
So you're seeing human beings on an exhibit on display.
Through the eyes of the koala. So you're right. The koala drives the play because we are seeing humans through the koala's eyes and seeing them fight for the same thing, territory, what it means to be a man.
And denying these very human things that are necessary to them, while at the same time, in just my own personal take, I'm longing for those things that they have that are human, you know? Mm-hmm.
Well, there is a sense, and, you know, I said that sort of facetiously at the beginning, like, how did you study for this? But I got to tell you, your performance is physically very intriguing to me because I have never observed a koala for any length of time.
They're always sleeping. You can never see them at the zoo, right?
That's right. They're asleep.
Right.
But your movements were, it's almost like a portion of like dance of a sort. Mm-hmm. Am I wrong, Anne?
No. It's right. And what I love about Esteban and why he has the role is because he's able to take the qualities of an animal and not do like, oh, here's what a koala exactly looks like, because he can't look like a koala because he's a man.
Yeah.
But what he can do is find the elements of what does a koala want and need, and what are his desires and movements, and actually then show that in physical form.
Well, even you see it when you were eating the fake eucalyptus leaves on the tree in the play.
We don't want to get called in by the union for feeding him actual eucalyptus.
And you had never worked at 16th Street before.
I actually came a year ago.
That's a good story.
To do Into the Beautiful North, a beautiful play about a young Mexican girl leading her community and showing how beautiful Mexican immigrants are, which is something we desperately need.
We need to hear.
Exactly. And it was the first time I had ever been working in theater now for 20 years. The first time I'd ever been in an all-Latino cast.
Wow.
Which was incredible. And doing that kind of work and working with Anne and Miguel, the co-director, and finding the kind of yes that we have in the room at 16th Street Theater, I had a round-trip ticket to go back to Los Angeles. They brought me out for one show, and I gave back the ticket because I fell in love. I joined the company. Mm-hmm. We applied for the Fox Fellowship through the Theater Communications Group, this national endowment, and we won. And all of my friends who've won this award, they're like, you don't get it on your first time. Just it's a way to learn, you know. But we won, and now we're making theater together. I've gone to Puerto Rico and built roofs for 3 months.
That's part of the fellowship.
In the name of 16th Street Theater, and creating work where we create, you know, we kind of nudge humanity towards a better understanding of itself. And it's expansive and ever-reaching concept of what humanity is.
Well, that's what theater should do. But you are sitting with me, and I would not be able to name a greater admirer of the work done at 16th Street Theater. But what is it? It has ever been a mystery. I can't put my finger on it. I cannot define the greatness of 16th Street Theater in a sentence. Can you?
If I were to, I think it is celebrating every voice that is in our community.
That's pretty good.
And I think that's what it is. And I think part and parcel to that is anybody who loves 16th Street Theater also loves Ann Filmer. And she's at the center of it and pushing this idea that we don't have to subscribe to these big institutional corporate notions of what art should be. But if you believe in something, and just to get back to the story about koalas and how this play happened, when she approached Jacob,
he's the playwright.
He was like, oh, okay, sure, you're interested in my play. And then she came back and asked him again, like, no, we want to do your play. And he's like, really? You were serious? Because Anne lacks pretense, like nobody's business. And it's so refreshing to have that kind of directness and like somebody who states directly what they want. When in this industry, in this business, you get a lot of weeble wobbly.
Oh, my God.
People.
Yeah, yeah. And this is a world premiere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, first time. And for Jacob, it's his first production in Chicago. And this play has been developed all across the country, but
it's a Eugene O'Neill finalist.
It is, yeah. Yeah, yeah. It's the first yes, so we hope that it has other productions following.
It starts with a man in his home. It's 1999, and his child, who has spent most of his time with the mom, the divorced mom, is in that house. The child is played by what I think is a terribly talented young young actor named
Leo Sharkey.
That's a tough role for a kid, don't you think, Esteban? That's a tough role for a kid because he's...
Yeah.
He doesn't just play one character.
He plays like basically sort of three. He plays himself, conflicted between boy and girl.
Yep, a two-spirit.
He plays his father as a young man. That's a tough one.
Young
Ray. What do you think about that role?
Well, you know, Leo's my buddy, and he's a great kid. Probably eats too much candy, but we have a great time, and we actually, you know, I've mentored him a bit on the role and on his work, and he realized part through this process that this is unlike other shows he's been in before.
Yeah.
Where he comes on and like there are other people around to say, okay, go do your scene now and then you're done.
Right.
And like it's like one scene, two scenes maybe, but this is a true ensemble show.
No question.
Where
no question.
It's five actors and we all carry almost equal amounts of, it's definitely centered around Ray or centered around Nate, you could argue.
I would argue it's centered around both of you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, or me. Yeah. It could be, you could say it's the play is about any one of these five people. And that's also a nod to it being a true ensemble show. So when it is an ensemble show like that, he's given an equal amount of responsibility as these four veteran actors, adult actors who've been doing this
for many years
professionally.
Yeah.
And that's a lot for a kid, for an actor of his size to step up to the plate and take on that role and shine the way he does.
Yeah.
We're all incredibly proud of him and the work that he's doing.
Well, I know he feels the same way about the cast too. That lobby scene on opening night was one of intense joy. Ann Filmer missed it because she was doing something very exciting somewhere else. You can learn all about Koalas is on for another couple weeks.
Yeah, two more weeks.
16th Street Theater. That is 16th Street Theater with an ER.org. Get your tickets. It's also one of the great intimate houses. Mm-hmm. You know, Red Orchid has an intimate house, and Red Orchid's in the city, 16th Street's in Berwyn. Mm-hmm. They're wonderfully intimate, and especially for this play where you can see Esteban Andres Cruz in a tree most of the time, eating eucalyptus leaves.
And singing Andrew Lloyd Webber songs.
And singing songs. He does everything, this guy, this young, young, talented actor. You have only about two more weeks to see and enjoy and be moved by and provoked by the world premiere of a play called Koalas, which is at the 16th Street Theater in Berwyn. Lots of parking in the neighborhood, a lot of nice restaurants over on Roosevelt Road. Ann Filmer is the artistic director and founder of the theater and the discoverer of Koalas, what I'll say. And Esteban Andres Cruz is the title character in the show, doing a remarkable... He plays a koala. This is not a laugh-a-minute show. There are some laughs in it, but it is a thought-provoking show about a people trying to cope. I mean, basically, you know, if you had a one-line kind of thing for it, it's a real ensemble work. Also starring, I'm just going to mention my buddy in the show, Leo Sharkey, is a fifth grader and does a remarkable job. Who are the other cast members?
Yeah, we have Michelle DeMasso plays Gabby, and Michael Holding plays John, the unemployed brother who stops by to needs a place to live. And Ray Slinger, who everything is centered around him. He's the Gulf War veteran. He is played by Eddie DiZzolo.
That's a tough role, too.
Yeah.
If you think as an actor, I mean, Ann, you are an actor, too. But that's a tough role, man. Mm-hmm.
He's holding on to a lot.
Yeah. Eddie and I talked a lot about self-care, which a lot of times as actors in this industry, we tend to put ourselves in these precarious situations, especially emotionally and psychically. And coming into a role like this, you got to have a separation of church and state at some point and be able to take care of yourself, because he carries a lot in the show.
Mm-hmm. And the wonderful director I want to mention is Josh Sobel.
Yes.
He's the director.
Well, that's a remarkable directing job because, as you said, Esteban, this is a real ensemble work. I mean, everybody is interacting with everybody, and Leo Sharkey is playing three different characters. I've always found the most haunting of them playing his own father as a young man. That is just a killer. Yeah, and I think it takes people in the audience a moment, I think, to realize that's who he is. Do you think so too, Esteban?
Yeah. Well, you know, being a new work, and our theater is centered around the playwright. It's a playwright's theater. We want to be there to facilitate the best storytelling that we can for Jacob. And so there were iterations of the play that were different than what you had seen, all the way up until opening night, even, you know, up. So we had changes coming at us, so that we could tell the story in the best way possible for what Jacob needed. So, yeah, you see him, you see Nate playing different things, and it's a lot. It's a lot.
But you know, but I think the playwright that's purposeful. That it, you know, I mean, I know it says in the playbill, you know, who reads the playbill? But if you do, it says young Ray. But really, that is that Ray Slinger. Is that the father of Ray Slinger who Ray took care of? Right? Or and is that, you know, is it himself? Is it is it the voices in his head that he hears his own father talking to him? So it's open. And when we have our post-show dialogues, because, you know, that's a lot of what we do, the play.
And that's a great thing, too.
And it's wonderful to hear from the audience, because there's no right or wrong answer. It's just an exploration. Well, what did young Ray mean to you? And what did you get from those interactions? But they are haunting.
Yeah.
It's a good show for Halloween.
It's a great show for Halloween. There are two more weeks to see Koalas. Again, it's 16th Street, 16thstreettheater.org to get tickets. Hey, Esteban Andres Cruz, what is it like for a kid who grew up born in Berwyn and grew up in Cicero to have this kind of hometown thing going on, man?
Well, it's incredible.
Yeah.
And it's joyous in a way to come, and especially when I get to work with the students at Morton, because I see them, they see me
and
on
that's
stage.
That's a local high school.
That's our local high school. And we just launched our Impact program, which is this high school and their theater work here at our theater. So we have a great relationship with the community, and it's so great going back to the school and telling these kids, you have an opinion, you have a voice, and it matters.
You matter.
And this theater here that we do, this is a way that you can tell your stories, stories that matter. So it feels so great to be able to give them that gift and let them know that they're beautiful and that they matter. So, yeah.
Now, that is as good a definition of what goes on at 16th Street Theater as I can imagine. Ann Filmer, the artistic director and founder, it is always a thrill to see you.
Thanks, Rick.
Esteban Andres Cruz, now that we've met, I will watch your career soar.
Right.
But you'll always be tied to Berwyn and Cicero,
absolutely,
as far as I'm concerned.